Morning. I just want to highlight our prayer focus for this coming week. And so we are going into a season where we're praying for the Oregon Crew. Many of you have heard about them. It's a kind of a God-grown ministry that's evolved in Oregon that we are connected with in some pretty vital ways. And it's a lot of people who've come out of the kingdom of darkness and come into the kingdom of light, the people who've believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they are connected with Journey. There are some of them taking us in right now via YouTube and watching us via YouTube. And so we have this vital connection with them. And they've seen a lot of people come to know Jesus over this past few years. And we've been able to walk with them in that process. And so, you know, when the pandemic first hit, we never thought that we'd kind of have a digital ministry. We were just trying to stay connected as a church family. But God had other plans, and he decided to grow this beyond what we thought he would do. But in any event, as you know, you read scripture and you look at Christian history, whenever God's on the move and there are people coming to know Jesus, the devil also hits with a counterpunch. So this is a community that's enduring that counterpunch right now, and they're getting a lot of demonic attack. So we're going to just pray them through this because we know that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And so because we believe that and we've seen that in our own lives, we're going to pray him through it. So we are, you know, God has his own counterpunch, and ultimately we know the Lord wins anyway. So we're going to pray with them. So this week, in this leg of our journey with them, we're going to pray for God to scatter the enemy as they endure spiritual attacks. So that's, well, it's from last week, but that's okay. It'll suffice for this week too. But in any event, also we're going to pray for them to be able to persevere. It seems like something the Lord is saying as well is for them to be able to persevere. These are a lot of new believers. And so you get a spiritual attack, it could be very discouraging. But at the same time, God can use it to toughen us up and to grow us up. So we're going to pray for perseverance as well. So let's pray. And I'm going to pray, but don't just listen to me pray. You pray. And we're going to pray them through this. Let's do it. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we appeal to heaven. You have all the power, and you have all the might and the wisdom and the knowledge to be able to counter Satan. And we believe, Lord, that that you are the one who overcomes the enemy, and you overcome the enemy in and through us. And we've seen that, many of us, in our own lives and our families. And so we're going to believe into that for the sake of this community in Oregon. We believe you. We simply believe you. We believe in your power. We believe in your sovereignty. And we pray, God, that in the name of Jesus, that you would rout the enemy, that you would scatter the enemy who is attacking these young believers, who have, many of whom have just come to know you, and who are sticking with you, and they're clinging to you, and they've said no to nonsense and darkness, and they said yes to your light and the love that is in the kingdom of God because of Christ Jesus. They've said yes to the gospel of Jesus. And so, Lord, we are praying for every gospel promise to bear on them right now in the great name of Jesus Christ, that, Lord, you would protect them from the enemy, that, Lord, you would cause them to persevere as they are under attack, and that you would make them tough and strong through attack, Lord God. And we pray that your sovereign hand would that you would touch down on this area in Oregon, and you would rout the enemy, that you would scatter the enemy, Lord God, that you would scatter the kingdom of darkness, Lord God, that you would shame all those things that come up against your name, as you did on the cross of Christ Jesus. You disarmed the enemy through the cross of Christ Jesus. We believe it. So we pray you would continue to disarm the enemy, Lord God, and that you would stand strong for the sons and daughters of God in this community. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we believe that you're going to do it. And so we pray, God, that you would. We pray this would be a reality. We pray for the leaders there, who are leading evangelistic Bible studies there, Lord, and who have people who don't know you yet who've come to be a part of them. We pray for special strengthening for the leaders in the name of Jesus, that you would have them rooted and established even further in the gospel, that you would give them supernatural peace, supernatural encouragement by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that, Lord God, that your presence would just pervade and would soak through every aspect of their lives, so that, Lord, they would continue to know that greater is the one who's in us than he who is in the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are praying for total victory. We are praying, God, for total victory, and we are claiming it by the blood of Christ and in the name of Christ. Do it, Lord, because you are the one who can do it. We appeal to heaven in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise him. All right, well, this is Youth Sunday. It's a special one. We usually, a lot of times, we have a fifth Sunday throughout the year, and on fifth Sunday, we do a few things. Number one is we want to give our volunteers who work with our kids and youth ministry a bit of a rest, and then also we want to take time out to be able to have our youth with us And so this is that kind of a fifth Sunday. But then also, this dovetails, of course, with our YWAM trip that we took recently, Journey Youth Mexico Missions Trip. And so we want to be able to celebrate our youth and celebrate what the Lord has done in and through them as a result. And so you're going to hear from them, and then also you're going to hear from Todd, who's our youth director as well. And also maybe you hear from some of the adults who went on the trip too. So we take special time out to be able to do this, to mark that out in this season of the life of our church. So first we're going to have an interview with Todd.
Well, thank you.
Got it. Well, the first thing is that I just want to a very short history of how Todd went from just being our worship director to also being our youth leader. We had Joel and Becca who were here when I got here as a pastor, and they were here working with Journey Youth, and then they moved on because Becca's graduate program ended, and they moved down to Arizona, and then also COVID had hit, and so not only had we lost our youth directors, but then at the same time, COVID hit, so we kind of weren't doing youth ministry during COVID. And after that time, there'd been a bit of discernment about what we were going to do as we were coming out of COVID. And Kaisa was pretty instrumental in helping us to discern and to figure that out. And she was doing some great volunteer work, especially with our young ladies. And then ultimately, the Lord answered prayer, and Todd was raised up to be our youth director. So we praise the Lord for him, and he's been doing a phenomenal job. And so what you're seeing here is a lot of the legwork that he did. And we know also, as a congregation, there's a lot of legwork on the volunteer level and then also on the giving level to make this happen. So thanks to the Lord for the work that everybody did to make this happen. And thank you, Todd, for your diligence. We really do appreciate you. Thank you very much. So thank you. So just a few questions for Todd. Todd, you're a leader, and you are a youth director, and there's all kinds of things involved in being a leader that we don't see. Things just kind of happen, and we go, yeah, that's awesome. But then there's all the stuff behind the scenes that that you do. Just a little bit about the process of setting all this up with the YWAM trip. You don't have to say every single thing, because there's a lot of bells and whistles involved in that and a lot of moving parts, but just a few highlights on your process in terms of setting this trip up to begin with.
Okay, let's see. Well, we saw the youth ministry growing right away, and I think it was the tail end of last year where the kids started saying, are we ever going to go on a mission trip? We're a Christian Missionary Alliance church. Missionary is in our denominational title. Are we going to go anywhere? And, granted, this is, we're still at the tail end of COVID at this point. We're still wondering, can we go through airports? Are we going to have kids in masks for 15 hours in an airport? It's just dizzying. So I felt it was something we should do. I started looking into it, and you and I were talking about it a lot, and then one of the parents came up and said, hey, I've got a friend who builds houses down in Mexico, and she pointed me in the direction of the person who runs this ministry, and I had to go scout it out, talked several times to her ahead of time, fretted, wrung my fingers a bunch of times. Am I doing the right thing? And then a big part of it too is just seeing how people are going to respond. The first thing that I had to do is, well, if we actually do this, Are any of the kids actually, do they really want to go, or were they just asking me a question? Because, we were all, at one point in our lives, we were all kids, right? Those of you who are kids now and those of us who are older, we were all kids, and we remember how our minds changed. You want that toy, and then all of a sudden you get that toy, and it wasn't what I thought, right? So I finally did the legwork, and I asked the kids, I showed them a video, and I asked the kids, who wants to go? Who would be willing to go to Mexico? And I still remember Caleb Cox, first hand in the air. And Caleb doesn't talk a lot, doesn't draw a lot of attention to himself. So that really, to me, that really spoke to me. And then, before you know it, within a minute's time, almost everybody's hand was in the air. Everybody wanted to go, every single kid. And so then, you know, it shifts from being the problem of will anybody want to go to how are we going to get everybody in the program to Mexico? You know, so yeah, that's some of the preliminary stuff. I don't want to talk forever, but that just kind of gives you a little idea what was going on behind the scenes at the beginning.
Good, good, excellent. Well, what was the Lord up to in you on the trip? Like, basically, for you personally, just as a believer, what kinds of things did the Lord do in your own life as a leader, right? And just as a man of God, what happened with you on the trip?
Well, you know, for me, the big issue is God is always like, Todd, remember, you're the adult. You are the adult, Todd. And I tell the youth all the time, you know, I'm 13 years old at heart. And I, you know, they do things that are that they shouldn't do, and I find it humorous. And I try very hard to stifle the laughter and to, you know, keep everybody in line. But that was kind of really for me. Oh God, for me personally, it's just another level of another step of look, you got to step up and do the thing that keeps everybody together, keeps everybody in line. That is very hard for me. That is what God is working on me personally.
Amen. Thank you. What do you think, how is this a stepping stone for things that you want to see in the future with God has put on your heart for the future? How is this trip a stepping stone maybe for things that we want to see down the stretch with youth ministry?
Oh, I think it shows us we can do it, number one. That's one of the big things. You know, the beautiful thing about this trip is it was so short that, you know, it's not like we took kids to Africa for 2 weeks. You know, that would have been a really difficult first trip. But, man, we've shown we can do 4 days. The kids know how to get on the airplane. They know what it involves. In a weird way, we were blessed that we had these wonky times that we had to fit in for flying because kids had to get up super early. And it's hard to believe that it took us like 15 hours to get down to San Diego or whatever it was, to cross the border into Tijuana. 15 hours. Come on, that should have taken like 3 or 4 hours, right? But it took us 15 hours. They got a real taste of what it really is like to do this because like when I went to Kenya, it was like 40 hours continuous. It just about killed me. I'd hate to do that to kids on the first one. But now they've gotten a taste for it. They know what to expect. We can begin to stretch it out a little bit. Well, we can look at doing this, I don't know, every other year. We already have an invitation from them to do it next summer. So I don't know if that's a youth thing. That's a lot of money to raise in a short amount of time. But
all right. Yeah. Anything else that you want everybody to know? About, you know, anything else, just your heart for this trip or just youth ministry in general, anything else that you'd like us to know?
Oh, gosh. Nothing really comes to mind. I just want to give a shout out to the kids for the video. You know, most of the youth, we had a couple of youth that wanted to come do this live. We have two of them that are like, oh, please, can I please just talk? They love to talk. They love to talk in public. But there was 9 kids that went, and most of them do not want to be up here at all. And actually, most of them, it's difficult for them to even get to talk to me or any other adult that's in the room. They don't really say all that much. Even, you know, my own kids, you know, how was school today? You know? So I didn't know what to expect when we went into this to film this video, and their answers were astounding. They did really well. Just for the, you know, not every kid is in every question. Not every kid answers every question, but some of it's because answers are doubling up. I'm trying to. Unless it's funny, I'm trying to keep from doubling stuff up and saving time. So I was just really amazed at how they did in the video. And the other thing I want to say is, I don't know if you guys know this, I am not a professional filmmaker. I'm not a pro.
But it still looks good.
It's going to be fine, but if any of you do this, any of this for a living, you'll notice the edit points, and we are in a bit of a rush. But yeah, it's good. I like it.
Amen. Well, here's what we're going to do. So we're going to shift to hearing from our next generation. So that's what we're going to do. But I just want everybody to give thanks to what Todd's got going on here. It's pretty amazing. Thank you. All right. Hear the next generation and listen to what the Lord's saying as well.
Hi, I'm Daitanya Naifangu from Journey Community Church. I'm a missionary.
Hi, I'm Caleb Cox. I'm a missionary from Journey Community Church.
Hi, I'm Aaron Cooper. I'm a missionary from Tacoma.
Hi, I'm Josiah Kevin. I'm a missionary from Journey Church Tacoma.
Hello, I'm Damaris Cockett. I'm a missionary from Journey Community Church Tacoma.
Hi, I'm Adeline Agnes Ortega. I'm a missionary from Journey Church Tacoma.
Hi, I'm Madeline Kevin, and I'm a missionary from Journey Church.
Hi, I'm Coraline. I'm a missionary from Journey Church Tacoma.
My name's Jackson, my last name is Cooper, and I'm a missionary for Journey Church Tacoma.
I was very excited.
I felt really excited. I was looking forward to this.
I was really excited. I could not sleep. I had like 3 hours of sleep. It was good though, because I was happy to go to Mexico and help people.
I was really excited to go, and I wanted to try the new food and see the family's reaction when they got their new house.
I don't know. I guess it just hadn't sunk in that I was about to fly to another country and then help a family who was homeless, and it still really hasn't sunk in.
There was a lot of, like, kind of holes in the walls. I noticed a few places had, and just kind of a lot of bars on windows and a lot of animals around and kind of just problems here and there.
It was crazy because you go from a nice community in the U.S. and then you cross the border and just changes. It's pretty rough in Mexico.
What stood out to me is there were a lot of cinder blocks everywhere because people, like, they started building a house, but then they didn't have enough money or they ran out, and then there was just half-finished houses everywhere.
It really stood out to me that, like, there were so many unfinished houses and just, like, a lot of really just poor living conditions for people, and also the water was polluted, so that also was pretty bad.
One thing I noticed about the living situations of the communities is some, like, part of it had, like, nice apartments and stuff, like, that looked like that a lot like the house we have here, but then others were, like, as Adeline said, like, run down.
I noticed that it was not as developed as a lot of places that we live in are. And the site that we were working at had no electricity, no water, and I have a feeling there were a lot of other places that were very similar.
It was like weird. It's like there were some nice houses, and then there were some neighborhoods that weren't so nice, and people didn't have homes.
I had a great time. It was fun meeting new people and meeting people to help us help other people.
It was a really good experience, I'd say. I learned a lot of things also, and a lot of useful tips, I guess, and learning how to use tools.
I felt good. more comfortable, definitely, while I was working alongside the people from Journey Church that I knew and that spoke English to me.
So I took a few years of Spanish in high school, and that really helped on the trip. I was able to communicate a little bit with some of the people working who only spoke Spanish, and although there was still a bit of a language barrier, we were able to communicate.
It felt cool to work alongside people I didn't know, but like we were all bound together by our faith in Christ. So that made it easier to understand and work with them. And working with the family was fun because they were really helpful in the building process, and I'll bet it was fun for them too.
It was a great experience. I really enjoy getting to know the YWAM workers and being able to communicate a little and bond with the family when they were working with us.
It was very fun, and my friends were very fun to work with, and the workers were supportive, and I even made friends with the little girl from the family named Leilani. She was very kind, and even through the language barrier, we managed to use Google Translate to talk to her.
It was fun, and we were able to talk to her about just different stuff, like her favorite colors and her favorite animals, and it was fun being able to interact with her, and I think she was a very sweet girl.
I think the most difficult part was my passport. It was a crazy experience with my passport because it got rejected. And then after it got rejected, we waited a couple weeks for it to come. And then didn't come. Yeah, I was pretty worried I wasn't going to be able to go. And then finally came exactly a week before I left. Yeah, thank you for everyone who prayed for it to come.
For me, it was the taking time out of my schedule. I am a senior in high school, and I have a really busy schedule, so it was very hard taking time away and knowing that I would have to catch up later.
I guess just how hot it was.
Maybe partially like working in the sun all day. Also, waking up at 3 in the morning to go to Mexico. It was horrible.
How hot it was there.
The most difficult thing was probably the heat, because I honestly am not very good with heat. So, like 55 and above is too hot. So that was like above too hot. So, yeah.
The most difficult thing for me was I got sick the first day, and that was not fun at all. It was the first day we were building, just like the first half of the day. I didn't put sunscreen on, and I was drinking a lot of water, but I think I just spent a little too much time in the sun, and the airport food isn't super good for you, so just a combination of all that just was not feeling good.
I would say getting there and getting back is really difficult, especially getting back, because when we got back, we had to have like 5 minutes to get onto the next plane to get back to Seattle, so that was hard.
Seeing that the people in Mexico don't have the same things we do, it really showed me how much we took for granted in the U.S., that we have clean water and electricity and running cars and everything like all the time, but these people, it's a day-to-day thing. Like one day they might have food and the other day they might not. So, yeah. It felt really good to finish, especially in so little amount of time. When we started like with just a slab of cement, it was kind of astonishing to see how much work we put in to create a house in just under 2 days.
It was of leave. I was like, this took a long time, and I was happy that we were able to finish helping someone.
It felt great, and it was cool to see the family react, like, be really happy for the house.
So fun. I was just like, oh my gosh, we just built a house from cement foundation to a livable house in 2 days. That was crazy cool.
I felt really good to finish, and it was really cool to see the family go into their house and stuff.
It was very satisfying. We got to decorate the house, and it was really fun seeing all the groceries coming in. But it was also a relief because we didn't think we were going to finish in time. We were working up to the last second to finish the house. But it was really nice seeing it all finished. So pretty unbelievable because you start with a slab of cement, and the next day there's a house there.
It was interesting to see what they had got at the store, but also their products, because a lot of stuff that they have there, like, you don't have in America.
It was cool to see them just finally get to get stuff without having to worry too much about the price and just be able to get stuff for them to be able to live way better than they were before.
It was cool seeing, like, Kehlani. She's like, ran up with something that she wanted to get, and her parents were like, yeah, and she was like really excited.
Daddy thinks of everyone and he'll send help.
I guess just to let him handle everything. I didn't really feel anything except like this weird sort of peace, like the whole entire time.
God taught me how no matter the situation, you should always try and help people and the best you can, and not giving up really affects them in many ways.
God taught me that even for families like Leilani's family, who some people would have just dubbed, wow, look at their living situation, they're too far gone. Some people would have thought that God would never have helped them, but he did, and he sent help and gave them a nice, comfortable home to live in.
That giving is really good, and it makes you feel good, and it may be hard doing it, but, like, in the end, it's, like, really fun.
Definitely not to take things for granted.
Just that not everybody has the stuff you have, I have a house, and a lot of people don't.
God taught me to trust the process, and to just kind of enjoy the moment. It was a lot of hard work, but we made some really, like, meaningful relationships with the people we were working with, and it was really great getting to see the family, get to go into their house, and so it also kind of teaches you how to serve others and really do God's work. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I think so, yeah.
Yes, I would love to do this mission trip again.
Definitely.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Yeah, definitely, I would definitely go on this trip again.
I'll definitely go on this trip again.
I definitely would. I loved it so much, and I love helping people in any way. So that was actually the main reason why I left to go.
What I want to do is I want to invite any of the adults who went, and don't be afraid, I'm going to ask you one question. And you're going to all have the same question. So the first one's the only guinea pig, right? So if you want, if you're an adult who went, and we had a few of our adults, everybody who went who's an adult had a kid go as well. But if you'd like to come up and share just about, and I'll even tell you, basically it's just asking, what did God teach you? So you have one of their same questions. One of the questions we asked you is, but if you're an adult and you attended the Mexico mission trip, and you want to come up and share just what did God show you or what did God teach you, you are invited. The floor is open for you. If not, and you're absolutely petrified, that's also open for you. All right, Cameron's going to come up. Cameron is our missions deacon, and he's going to come up and share. We got a mic available for you, Cameron. Just what did God show you on the trip?
Yeah, I would say, well, you know, Caleb is my son. He's the one who had the passport issue, and I've been out of the country a couple times and had to renew my passport multiple times, and we never had a situation like that. And it turned out, looks like it was some kind of clerical processing error. But anyway, we were definitely like sweating it that we would even be able to go. You know, we were actually talking about our plan B, like, well, because we flew into San Diego. So me and Caleb were like, well, maybe we'll just spend a few days in Southern California hanging out. And we got some family there. So we're like trying to make plans. Maybe we'd spend time with them. But anyway, it got here, you know, a week, like he said in the video, a week before. So trusting God, I think that was one of the big things. And in addition to the passport issue, you know, the border and things are in the news a lot right now, and the safety issues. And, you know, so I was a little nervous, to be honest, about, like, you know, what's it going to be like. And but once we got down there and once we got to meet the YWAM team, I felt just at peace. And, you know, we didn't really have any issues crossing the border. I mean, it took a lot of time just because there's a lot of people going back and forth. But other than that, I think it was really good. And then I think seeing the getting an idea of what this means to the family that we were helping. When we were down there, they mentioned that this is setting this family ahead years and years and years. I think they mentioned that they only make about, on average, the people in that community make about $250 a month, you know? So you think about, I mean, how could we live here on $250 a month, right? It'd be pretty tough. So, and I think that's also why in the video they mentioned some of the houses that we saw were kind of partially built, because it takes a long, long time for the families to raise the money to complete the build. And so for us to be able to work with YWAM and get a house built in one weekend was pretty amazing. So anyway, I think, yeah, just, but the biggest takeaway for me probably is just God's in control. He's going to work it out, you know, and yeah.
Anybody else? Yes. You got the Kaisa. All right. Kaisa is our board secretary for our leadership board, and then also youth volunteer. So what did God show you?
I think something that really impacted me was when we were gathering around on the last day and giving the keys to the family, each person had an opportunity to say something, and then it was translated in Spanish. And I remember Todd saying to the family something to the effect of, you know, I just want to reassure you that God heard your prayers. And just thinking about for them and for other families who receive homes, just maybe the years of hopelessness and despair and working so hard and wondering, God, do you hear me? Just seeing in a really tangible way, yeah, God has heard your prayers. So, yeah.
Any other Mouseketeers? All right, Joe. Joe is one of our elders here at Journey. He is a dad of the Cooper Troop.
I still don't think I'm old enough to be an elder, but my gray hair says differently. I think, for me, I mean, there's a lot of things, but just being down there and you see, really no matter where you go, all people are trying to do is they just want to take care of their family. They need food, they need shelter, they need water, they need God. And going back to things you hear on the news, there's whatever it might be about you have, it's easy to see people as others. And you get down there and you just see these people, they're struggling, and this opportunity gives them a leg up, and we can't help everyone, but the ability, the group that went down there, we actually had, we were split up, but we actually built two houses on the weekend that we were divided up. So these two families, we've put them, like Cameron said, advanced them years. You know, they can't get loans. They work in factories. I think, yeah, $250 a month makes sense, because I think they make $10 a day, something like that. And I think the property, Felipe, who was one of the guys, he had worked for YWAM for 11 years, and he kind of helped us head the trip. He's his English and Spanish are both great, so he did a lot of translating. He talked to the family, and I think they said the property was $160,000. So not pesos, dollars. And we're like, well, how did they even get the money to buy that? So, but ultimately just trying to figure out how we can help more people, because ultimately they just want to take care of their family. They need God. They need love. So.
Anybody else? Amy Ortega's coming up. Amy Ortega is a Swiss Army knife leader in our church. I think Amy's done pretty much everything. And Amy right now serves on our leadership board here at Journey. Amy Ortega, what did God show you?
I think the two big things that came up for me was seeing the persistence and the empowerment. So our youth, obviously they're youth, you know, I work with kids all day, and they all need a little correction, and they all need their silly times, but seeing them be empowered to climb up on a roof and to do all these jobs, they really took it seriously, and they, you could see the empowerment in them. Like, they felt so proud of it, which was awesome. Also, the way that YWAM has their program set up, they have the families help. So seeing the dad up on the roof with the workers, I don't know how much, you know, former skill he had in that, but they empowered the families to assist with the build. And all of the program was, they weren't just giving to somebody who was just begging. The families that they chose, they had invested in it. So they weren't going to just take it for granted. This was big for the families themselves. And as my daughter had said, the 7-year-old, she was out there working hard. She was painting. Her friends came up. You know, they got to help. So it was really cool to see even the little ones. They all had a part in it, and they all got that empowerment of, like, I got to help. I got to help build my house. So I think it was a great experience for the families and the way the program is run, but also for our youth to get to feel that achievement. Also, as my daughter said, it was extremely hot, and they were long days, and we were in dirt. Like, there's no trees. So I was very impressed by the Washington kids that were able to persist through the heat. And just work for, I mean, it was an 8-hour work day out in the dirt, you know, eating lunch in the shade of the van. So it was very impressive that they were able to continue and to get the work done and to stay focused that long. You know, that was pretty big. So I think it was pretty cool to see the persistence and the empowerment that the trip was able to give.
And I think that's everybody. I am going to give a brief word. And I know I'm the pastor, and I'm saying brief, and I got the Bible in my hand, and y'all are like, you lying? How you breaking one of the Ten Commandments, bruh? All right, I get it. I promise you this is going to be brief, because you've heard everything that you need to hear. You've heard what the Lord has done. So this is going to be brief, just to wrap it up in the Word. This is from Psalm 127, and it reads as follows. This is traditionally attributed to Solomon. Okay, so when you see those little attributions, that's not a part of like what somebody wrote. That was put in later because Jewish tradition says, hey, that's who wrote this. This is attributed to Solomon. And it reads as follows. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand and watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those who he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full with them, yet they will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. And I'm just briefly calling this the Lord's Building Project. And with our youth and the adults who accompanied them did is built a house, right? With YWAM, we went and we built a house for a family that desperately needed one in an area where many people struggle to be able to do something as simple as live in a safe, kind of life-giving environment for them and their children. And it does set people way ahead for years, like light years. And the benefits are amazing. There's all kinds of benefits cognitively, emotionally, spiritually, physically. This helps out on every single level you could possibly imagine to be able to live in a safe house, right? And that's what we just participated in. But as a result, what's happening here is there's a deeper building project going on, and this pertains to what we're doing here, a journey with the next generation. The Lord, we built a house, and then also the Lord is always building his house, and his house is us. His house is the church. The Lord's always building his house, the church. And this is one of the ways he does it. When we go out in the mission field, whether it's youth mission or it's any other kind of mission where we are involved in the work of God internationally and then sometimes here locally, we're involved in mission. It's a part of the Lord building his own house, right? Because the house is not just a physical thing. The house, more importantly, is God's people. All of God's sons, all of God's daughters, all of God's children. He is building his house. And here as a church, we've had the opportunity. I mean, we are almost 20 years old. Actually, next year will be our 20th anniversary, so got to do something cool for that. But the Lord has built this house, right? And long before I got here. I've only been here for 5 years, right? So the Lord started this building project before I got here and before some of us were even here. The Lord started and built up this church and did so, by grace through faith. And so Journey Community Church was founded 20 years ago. And in this passage, you see this chronicle of the Lord building a house. And it's talking about physical stuff. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. And then it moves on to cities. And you got to follow that poetically, what's happening here. It goes from just a house, a home, right, to a city. Unless the Lord watches over the city, right, the guards stand and watch in vain. In vain you rise up early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those whom he loves. And if you know about Solomon, if you ever read Ecclesiastes, one of the big things that pops up is in vain, it's all in vain, that kind of a thing. That's why I think that they homed in on this and like, I think Solomon wrote this one, because it sounds a lot like Ecclesiastes. And his point is very simple. It's entirely fine to build a house, right? Whether it's a YWAM house or whether it's the things that we've done here to participate in the building up of God's spiritual house, it's fine, but without him, it's in vain. Right? We should watch over the city. Right? Guards watched over a city. They had specific positions that they had to watch over a city and to guard it. That's fine. One should do that. In fact, it's entirely right to do that. It's right to watch over the church between leaders and congregation members. It's right. But without the Lord, it's in vain. Right? Without the Lord, it's all in vain. And we could rise up early, we can go to bed late, we can wring our hands, we can walk around the circle. Without the Lord, it's all in vain. And so you know that basically with the Lord it's not. Right? That's kind of how the thought process is supposed to go through our head. With the Lord, it's not in vain. With the Lord, all the work, all the toil to build a physical house or to build a spiritual house is not in vain. It's worth it. It's worth something. With the Lord. Then he switches to another kind of house right in the middle of this song. And you don't see the word house again, but he is still talking about a house the second half of the psalm. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in the court. And here he's talking about the house of the next generation, right? You see this interplay of this term in the Old Testament, where house, physical structure, and then kind of household, a generational structure is used. He's talking about a new house here, and this is children, right? Or we would call the next generation, right? This is also from the Lord, right? So the building of a house from the Lord. If not, it's in vain. The watching over a city from the Lord, if not, in vain. Doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter how much sleep you miss out on, doesn't matter how much you wring your hands and how much anxiety you put out, it's all in vain if he's not in it. The same is true for this next generation. They're a heritage from the Lord. It's from the Lord. We may say, well, not quite. People just like have sex and make babies, boop, we're good, right? And it's like, nope, from the Lord. From the Lord, right? And their reward, says that their reward, they're a heritage from the Lord. So that's speaking about thinking down the road. A reward from the Lord, right? Arrows in the hands of a warrior, that's who children are to those born in one's youth, right? And they are a blessing. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in the court. Some of the translations say in the gate, because that's where you would go to negotiate. You go to the city gates to negotiate. If you had a city in the ancient world, you'd normally have a wall around your city. You see it's a lot in the Old Testament, right? There'd be a wall for protection. Right, and so if somebody came out against you and wanted to fight, if you wanted to engage in diplomacy, it would be at the city gate, positioned at that wall, right? So negotiations, diplomacy was at the wall. This is where you would do all the highfalutin stuff, right? But that happens, the transactions that happen between nations is at the gate. And you want to have an army. You want to have a next generation, right? You want to have a viable next generation to be able to do that. That's what we're doing. What you're seeing that we're doing right now is we're building up the next generation. We're not just like babysitting people, right, and trying to keep them safe and keep them in an incubator and keep them safe from the world, right? We want to build them up. This is the Lord's next generation army, the sons and daughters of the living God for the next generation. All of us have a sell-by date. I have a sell-by date as a pastor, right? Because I'm a human, I don't live forever, right? None of us do. And so we constantly have to have an eye for what's happening with the next generation. What you're seeing right now, what we're doing, is not just babysitting the young people, as we call them, right? This is about building them up because they are going to be the future in God's kingdom, and they're the future in our church, right? And they're the future for the church, capital C, universally. That's what's happening here. So when you invested in this, and thank you so much, you invested prayer and you invested resources for this to happen, that's what you did. That's what our church is doing. We're building up the next generation. And there's more to come, right? There's a lot more to come. So praise the Lord, right? And pray into what they're doing, right? And don't just pray into, like, God keep them safe. Yes, we want God to keep our kids safe. I'm there. I'm a parent too. I get it. I'm not saying that we don't want to do that. But beyond that, you know, God raise up an army, right? God raise up an army, because that would be really nice in our culture right about now, is for a godly army of the sons and daughters of God. And I know that's militaristic language, and some people, you know, you might be like kind of weird about that, but that's language from Scripture, right? That's language from Scripture, right? Is that we need that in order to be able to make an impact for Christ, not for some goofball ideology, not for nonsense, but for Christ himself in our world is a next generation that can stand up for him and represent him and the interests of the kingdom of God in our world for the sake of what God is doing, amen? So that's what's happening right now. We have the worship team come up, and then at the end we're gonna do a benediction, but it's gonna be a little bit special geared towards the next generation, so stay engaged. Amen. We're going to do a special benediction. We have had some of our kids move up a notch in terms of our young kids in Journey Ministry who moved up to Journey Youth Ministry. And we wanted to be able to commemorate that and to celebrate that. So if we could get kiddos up, Aaron Cox, who is our Journey Youth Minister, if you could come up, that would be amazing. Or if your tribe can come up and we can bless the move up crowd, that would be great. Speaking of the full quiver army of the Lord, they are coming. Come on down, don't be afraid. It's just me, or us. Yeah, cool, you're fine. You could come up a little bit if you want to, that's fine. We're ready to see you. You could stand over here. Okay, you're my kiddo, you shouldn't be afraid. Come on, it's Dad, right? All right, what I want us to do is normally, you know, I say a benediction over us, but I want us as a congregation to bless our kids. This is the next generation, right? And we want to be able to bless our kids. They're moving on up, and they're moving on up in all kinds of ways. So we've had to move up in terms of into youth ministry, and we just want to be able to bless our kids and to be able to say God's blessing over them because they need it and because it's right for us as the older crew to be able to bless the younger crew. So I'm going to pray, and if you just extend your hands, and let's bless them. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we pray blessing for the next generation. These are the sons and daughters of the living God. This is the next crew who you are raising up, Lord God, to be able to impact the world for Christ. These are the next missionaries. These are the next disciple makers. Lord God, these are the next leaders. These are the ones who will work in marketplace ministry for the sake of your name. These are the next people who will help to turn the world upside down for Christ. These are the next generation who will repel the darkness and bring the light of Christ into the world in an even deeper way, and even in a way that's relevant, in a way that we don't even know about yet. In the name of Jesus Christ, we speak blessing over them. We speak protection over them. We speak empowerment and equipment from the Holy Spirit over them. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, help us to steward the next generation. As parents, grandparents, as a church, help us to steward them right and to set them up in the way they should go, to point them to you and to see them become strong disciples. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray blessing over the next generation. Amen, amen. Praise God. Amen.